It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski will visit with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Underwriting for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development and Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments. More at facebook.com/NWMORCOG. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. And as you know, we highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and the developments throughout our region. And our listeners, of course, know that there's so much to celebrate regarding Northwest Missouri, Southwest Iowa, Southeast Nebraska, and Northeast Kansas. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCV KRNW, wish to extend a hearty congratulations to all the high school and college graduates, and most importantly, a fond and grateful thank you to all the mothers in celebration of Mother's Day this month. I am pleased to welcome you to the May edition of our show. We'll provide two segments this month. In segment one, we feature Dr. Taibing Shi, Assistant Professor of Marketing at Northwest Missouri State University. In segment two, we feature Mike Baumgartner, the President and CEO of SSM Health, St. Francis Hospital, Maryville. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Dr. Taibing Shi to All Things Northwest. Dr. Shi is an assistant professor of marketing at Northwest. He received a doctoral degree in marketing from Queen's University in Canada in 2011. He loves teaching and enjoys interacting with students, as you'll hear in just a few minutes. Currently, he teaches courses of marketing management, international business, international marketing, and global marketing management. His research interests are in the areas of social, cultural, and ethical dimensions of consumer behavior and marketing strategies. Dr. Shi was also honored this past year as the Governor's Award recipient for excellence in education, representing all faculty at Northwest Missouri State University. Well, Dr. Shi, welcome to All Things Northwest.
In fact, I really enjoy my life at Northwest. I have wonderful students, I have wonderful colleagues, I have a wonderful natural environment to live. I cannot expect more.
Yeah. Well, we so much appreciate you taking time to join us, and I know our listeners of All Things Northwest can appreciate your award that I just talked about, that a Governor's Award for Excellence in Education. Dr. Shi is the recipient of a statewide award to represent Northwest Missouri State. And what I'd like to start with, Dr. Shi, is really, if you go back, why did you choose teaching as a profession?
I think I have two reasons. First, I like to share ideas with other people. It's an enjoyable process. Particularly, I feel very happy when I see some other people can benefit from the ideas they learn from me, but definitely I also benefit a lot from the ideas shared by other people. And teaching definitely is a natural opportunity for us to share ideas with our students. And I often learn some new ideas from my students. For example, in the second year when I came here, after the final exam, one big boy told me, "Dr. Shi, you are badass." Wow, that's, for a Chinese guy, it could be the worst curse on any person. I was very angry. I didn't say anything to this boy. I said, okay, thank you for your comments. I left my classroom. I went to my office. I stood there silently. Then one colleague told me, "Taibing, what happened to you?" I say, "I was angry because one student told me I am badass." Do you know her response? "Hey, it's great. What?" One lesson I learned for my students, I learned more the young culture of the American students. It's kind of totally different culture for me, particularly for the young generation.
That's certainly an unexpected answer, I would say, in terms of some of the background for teaching. But getting to know you over the years, it's pretty obvious to me that you put such deep passion and so much love and so much betterment into the teaching component of what you do. So it's no surprise to me that you're honored both by your colleagues here and statewide. Let's go back just a moment. So for our listeners' sake, Dr. Shi was the commencement speaker at last month's graduate commencement ceremony at Northwest just a few weeks ago. And Dr. Shi, your message to the students a couple of weeks back at commencement was really one of discussing some challenges, challenging them to embrace kind of bigger picture ideas. Mm-hmm. Maybe talk a little bit about what you told our students a few weeks back during commencement.
I offer three suggestions to students because I benefit a lot from these three things. First, I encourage my students to embrace all challenges because all the challenges will make us stronger and stronger. My second suggestion is continuously improve ourselves because we will face all kinds of challenges in the future. We might have never imagined them, and we really need to continuously improve ourselves to face this challenge and improve ourselves to get stronger and stronger to serve our community, our nation in a better way. The third thing I would share with my students is that we should connect ourselves with some bigger causes. Why? When we only work for our own interests, for own hobbies, or anything else we really love, we will say it's easier for us to get tired. Oh, I can't give up today. But if we serve some high purpose, connect ourselves with some high causes, we will get more powerful inspiration, and we will get a lasting, inexhaustible source of strength. That's why we need to connect ourselves with some higher purpose or bigger causes. That's the three messages I send to my students.
Well, and listeners, Dr. Shi's address to our graduates just a few weeks back was inspiring, but also indicative of what he does in the classroom. And Dr. Shi, I want to explore that a little bit. In terms of criteria for being a good teacher, what are your criteria for being a good teacher?
Wow, this is an interesting, important question for any teacher. For me, a good teacher is responsible, knowledgeable, and efficient teacher. Let me elaborate my idea. First, the good teacher should be responsible. If one teacher doesn't care about the growth of his or her students, doesn't spend enough time developing good assignments and grading, or reformate his or her own teaching methods, I will say the teacher is a bad teacher. He just kind of making money from teaching profession. It's too sad for me. Second, the teacher should be knowledgeable because we share our knowledge with our students. We can be knowledge transfer for our students. If we don't continuously read new articles, new theories, how can we master our discipline? How can we transfer useful and complete latest knowledge to our students? No way. So we should be knowledgeable. Third, we should be efficient in teaching. Yeah, our students have lots of things to do. They don't want to waste the time. And for a teacher, we have a lot of things to do. Mm-hmm. We don't want to waste our own time. So how to teach efficiently is one big, big criteria for us to use to judge whether a teacher is good or bad.
Interestingly, as I think about being efficient, when you think about being efficient, what might that mean in terms of your preparation, but also your interaction with students?
I would say being efficient can be defined in three aspects. First, we have to link the reality to our assignment or exam questions because students, they will live in reality. We have to develop some assignments or exam questions which connect reality to our assignments and exams so students can apply the knowledge they learn from its assignment or exams. Second, I would like my assignments help my students develop their critical thinking skills and problem-solving skills so they can apply them in the future. So they will not waste any time in my classroom. Third, I want them to develop kind of social responsibility. Yeah, many course assignments emphasize technical skill, but they emphasize another big, big skill. How can we develop good managerial conditions which are also socially responsible? This is very important because in today's business world, yeah, because I teach business, I teach management, that's why my ideas is always centered around business. If our technical solutions cannot solve some big social problems, they will not be efficient. And as a students, they are not efficient students. As a teacher, they are not efficient teacher. That's what emphasizes these kind of things.
And Dr. Shi, if we can explore your teaching, as you think about your approaches, your methods to teaching, maybe for our listeners of All Things Northwest, explain how you approach the classroom and some of your methods.
Okay, let me explain. First, how I connect my assignment to the reality. I take two different actions. First, in all my classes, I require my students to read Wall Street Journal article every day. And they have to select some article to analyze in classroom. So they should first give a very brief summary of the article. What does the article discuss? Second, please point out or analyze the strengths and weaknesses of this company's current marketing strategy or tactics. Finally, they have to develop their own managerial competencies to help this firm to improve its performance. In this way, they know what happened in reality because this latest news covered in Wall Street Journal. Second, they also improve their critical thinking skills by analyzing the kind of things and develop their problem-solving skills by developing their own managerial solutions to help the firm to improve its performance.
And there's no question then critical thinking goes into that. You face some challenges in the classroom, and maybe you can talk about how you've addressed those challenges.
The challenge I met in classrooms?
Yes.
I think one biggest challenge I will meet in classroom is like how to develop students' critical thinking skills. Yeah, many people discuss we should emphasize critical thinking skills, but how to do it in classroom?
Right.
Yeah, I take some actions. Yeah. In the first class, some students were surprised by my requirements. I require them, please challenge me. If you find some errors in my lecture, you get 1 point bonus. What? I told them I learned from my own professor when I was in my own university. Yeah, I also asked them to identify any challenge assumptions of the textbook and articles from Harvard Business Review. If they can't do it, they show critical thinking skills. If they continue find and challenge the assumptions of great articles from Harvard Business Review, they develop their critical thinking skills. And it also asks them to identify and challenge their assumptions of popular ideas about management.
And taking that, the challenges piece, to some wonderful moments of teaching at Northwest Missouri State University, as you reflect back, having started here back in 2010, I believe, what are some of the wonderful moments that are ingrained in you here at Northwest Missouri State University?
Oh, I will see. The wonderful moments I have are the moments when the students show the progress in developing critical solutions to some specific real company's problems. For example, in my class, in my marketing management class, I asked them to develop managerial competencies for some real companies. They are also asked to develop marketing plan for a real company in Maryville or any other cities. During the final presentation sections, some teams really show the progress. Yeah, they have critical skills because they challenge the company's current marketing plan, they change the directions, and they provide wonderful solutions which are really relevant for the problems of this company. Many people develop irrelevant things. They're fancy, but they're not relevant for the problems of the company. And they hate their problem directly. After this kind of presentation, I feel, I didn't waste this tremendous time because I see the growth of these young people. That's the wonderful moment I have.
And listeners of All Things Northwest, you're listening to Dr. Taibing Shi, Assistant Professor of Marketing at Northwest Missouri State University. Dr. Shi, it's not surprising when we ask you what are your most wonderful memories. Your answer is simply student success at Northwest Missouri State. That's what we do, and that's our mission. You have been accorded the Governor's Award for Excellence in Education here earlier this spring, and really it was announced last fall. But as you received that award, talk about how you felt and how you feel representing the faculty in terms of being touted as the excellent faculty member for Northwest.
First, to be honest with you, I was excited because it is a great honor for anyone. Second, I understand this is honor for everyone in my department in our university because I received a lot of advice, a lot of support from my colleagues here in my department and in other departments. So I think it's a award for everyone. Third, I saw big gap between my ideal and my current situation. I know I still have a long way to go to learn, to continuously improve my teaching skills, to improve my research skills. That's a long way for me to go.
Well, Dr. Shi, at Northwest, we talk about being a Bearcat. One of the components of being a Bearcat is Bearcats learn, and you exemplify that because you always talk about, hey, I received an award, but I need to get better. I need to continuously improve. I need to continuously learn, and we embrace that. We really do. Talk about what's important to you. What are the most important things in your life?
Oh, there are several things which are very important to me. First, my work, I mean teaching and research. They are central part of my life because I am a teacher. My major components of my life should be teaching and doing research. Second, reading. I am very, very curious about new things. Yeah, I cannot stop my curiosity. Yeah, I want to learn this on the light. Even last week, I talked with two colleagues. I'm interested in your area, but I don't have time to read so many books in your area. Could you introduce some idea to me? Maybe I'm too curious about new things. Reading is also important for me because if I read enough new papers, new books, so I can master the latest knowledge in my discipline, so I can share this knowledge with my students in my classroom. The third thing I think is my family. Without the support and inspiration from my parents, I cannot grow to this stage. And without support from my wife and my son, I cannot focus on my own work, teaching, research. I would say that's important to me. And finally, but not leastly, my friends in China, in Canada, are in Maryville. They give me advice, support, even emotional support. To be honest with you, I think without their support, I cannot make progress in this way. I'm grateful for them. They're important for my life.
Well, those are central components to what's important to you, obviously, and important to many of us. And I know that you're referencing your family. Mm-hmm. You're referencing reading as being very critical to you. Mm-hmm. For our listeners, could you just walk us back to your childhood? Because I know reading was important mm-hmm. to get you where mm-hmm. you're at today. But in order to do that, you faced some challenges. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit for our listeners.
Oh, that's a long story. Sometimes when I just recollect my memory in my early days, I feel a little bit sad, but I also feel and proud of because I overcome challenges. I was born in one ordinary family in one economically disadvantaged district of my hometown, Luoyang, in China. My parents, they worked very hard to support my big family, including my grandmother, my brother, my sister, and me. We had a very, very small budget, so my parents couldn't spend enough money to support our education. For me, as kind of student in my elementary school or even in my middle school, I faced two major challenges. First, my parents couldn't afford buying supplementary education materials for me, but I'm curious about new things. I want to read, but we couldn't get enough books. So I asked my father to buy his books from the workers' club of the factory he worked. So particularly in the winter vacation or summer vacation, in China, we have two semesters, winter and fall semester. So in vacations, I usually spend my evening in the work club to read books or magazines. And my father also borrowed some books for me. But beautiful thing is that if you borrow a book from the library, you have to return in time to avoid the overdue charge, mm-hmm. particularly for my family. That's a big expense for me. So I read a lot of books in this way to overcome the financial challenge. Second, for American students, they might never understand my parents couldn't afford our electricity fee. We could only afford 2 15-watt lamps in my family. 15-watt lamps, yeah, it's strange for American students. And we have to control the time using these lamps. So I want to stay late to read, but I couldn't afford the electricity fee. So one day I visit one classmate's home. He told me one classmate in another class, he had one wonderful method to overcome the similar situation. He went to bed early in the evening, but got up early in the morning to save the electricity fee. Because in the morning, if we started in the yard, we didn't need any lamps. It was a very popular practice in my age for many, many hardworking students. I think this experience really, really helped me to become stronger in terms of willpower. So after this kind of experience, I know I can overcome not all, but many, many challenges I will face in the future. This kind of treasure to me.
We all face many challenges, but obviously you faced some early on, embraced reading and knew that electricity fees, you know, family couldn't afford it. So you adopted, you adapted, you improvised, and it has worked well as you're serving so many students today. And in closing, Dr. Shi, maybe I can ask you if you were to leave words of advice, ideas, thoughts for not just students at Northwest, but listeners of all things Northwest, what are some ideas and thoughts you'd like to leave?
I would say work hard and connect ourselves with bigger causes. Work hard definitely is necessary requirement for anyone, because in society, if we want to survive and grow, we have to work hard. Second, if we work hard, if we might think we work too hard, even we don't work hard enough, we might get tired. That's why we need to connect with ourselves with bigger causes to get inspiration, to get lasting, inexhaustible source of strength. So work hard and connect ourselves with bigger or high purposes.
Beautiful advice for students and for listeners of all things Northwest. Dr. Taibing Shi, thank you for joining the program. Thanks for what you do at Northwest Missouri State University and for what you stand. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for letting me be here. Thank you.
Listeners, when we return to All Things Northwest, we'll visit with Mike Baumgartner. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCB Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Atchison and Holt Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa. Atchison and Holt Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the locations of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ahec.coop. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center. Celebrating its 75th anniversary, CRHC has been providing health care in Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri since 1939. More at clarindahealth.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from United Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Missouri and Iowa. United Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the location of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ueci.coop.
Welcome back to the May edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Chasinski. We'll now visit with Mike Baumgartner. Mike has been in healthcare for 38 years and currently is the president and CEO of SSM Health, St. Francis Hospital, Maryville. This is Mike's second stint at the hospital. He first served as the top administrator from 1997 to 2007 and then came back in 2015. He was key to the hospital earning the Missouri Quality Award and has helped recruit talented physicians, as he'll talk about, to Maryville. Since 2015, he's been instrumental in developing a new service line at St. Francis, a new preschool and childcare facility, all the while positioning St. Francis to face state and federal health care issues. Before coming to St. Francis in 2015, Mike was president of Baptist Health, a 410-bed rural teaching hospital in Madisonville, Kentucky. Prior to that, he served as president of St. Francis Regional Medical Center, an 86-bed acute care hospital in Shakopee, Minnesota. He's also served as president and CEO of hospitals in Carrington, Rolla, and Bowman, all in North Dakota. Mike was born and raised in North Dakota and is the father of four children and a grandfather. Mike Baumgartner, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Well, John, wonderful to be here again. Good to see you.
It's always good to have you. It's always good to talk. And Mike, we get a chance to visit outside of this radio program, obviously, and talk about all the good things happening in our community, in our region, but certainly at SSM Health, St. Francis Hospital, Maryville. We could fill up the books about all the things that have been happening since you've returned in 2015, but let's start with medical staff recruitment to the hospital.
John, that's the key to our success. That's our future. I asked the staff one time, I said, what business are we in? Right away, first time I heard it, I'm thinking we're in the healthcare business, obviously. But it's more than that. We're in the relationship business, and it's that relationship between the physician and the patient that's so important. So building and recruiting a strong medical staff is key to our future.
And what have you done in terms of building that, strengthening, retaining, but also hiring new medical staff?
Yeah, from September of 16 through August of 17, so say a 12-month period, we'll have 8 new physicians coming to town, maybe 10. So we got 2 more that we're talking to that we're hoping to get here too. So just go through some with you, because I think it's important for the public to know of what we've added. We've had some retirements. Dr. Jane Dawson retired. Dr. Manny Renez, a longtime general surgeon, has just retired this month. But back in September, we added Dr. Leah Habersham, OBGYN, great new physician. Dr. Lori Snook, family practice, came back. It's really nice to have her. She's back practicing with her sister, Dr. Sally Pomar. And then in January, Jack Forrest, general surgeon. Great, great catch. Nice to have him. In March, Chip Fillingang, family practice physician. He and his wife moved to Maryville, so good to have him. And then in June, we have an oncologist, Dr. Breyer. Rolando Breyer will be starting. So our first oncologist that we've hired. August, we have a pair of brothers. So that's going to be interesting. So we have a pair of sisters that are working, and I also have a pair of brothers. So we'll have Ben Kinderconnect, he's a general surgeon, and then William, family practice, both coming out of residency. And then we have a Bearcat returning. So we have an anesthesiologist, Darren Reedy, starting in August. So he actually worked for us while he was a student here at Northwest and now made a full circle. And he and his wife's a veterinarian. She landed a position too in town. And so they're both coming back in August to join us. So that's exciting. And then we've also added 4 nurse practitioners. And so we're up to 9 nurse practitioners. So And that's just what we've done in the last 12 months. Over the next 24, we hope to add another 10 to 12 doctors, maybe 6 a year to the medical staff. So exciting times.
It really is. And for our listeners' sake, as you think about rural locations in Maryville, Missouri, Northwest Missouri, and the importance of an entity like SSM Health, St. Francis Hospital. I know, Mike, in my time, listeners, you should know I served on the board of SSM Health, St. Francis Hospital for a number of years, but not now. But Mike, you were very poignant about being strategic, focusing on the core mission, and having the right people. And obviously, it's coming to fruition. And now you're talking about the growth in the next 24 months, an exciting time at the hospital.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And the staff's feeling it, and the patients are too. I mean, just greater access and care closer to home means everything. Probably the one most important thing in our lives that we tend to forget about is our health until it goes bad for ourselves or somebody we love, and then your whole world stops. And it's nice that we get to be there for people in their time of need. So it's an important ministry that we do each and every day.
You know, I have to say that your comment there about many of us take health for granted, but then when it goes south, then the world stops. And as you suggest, it's really about relationships, though. So how do you make sure that all those that are serving the hospital and the newcomers, as you onboard them, how do you get them to focus on relationship management?
There's a couple things, and it gets back to 2 things, really, back to our mission and to our values. Through our exceptional healthcare services, we reveal the healing presence of God. And that's just what I spoke to our employees about at our employee forum before I stepped in here, about the presence, being present to that patient. So being in the moment, listening, understanding, getting their viewpoint of what their needs are, taking that moment, holding their hand, praying with them, if that's what they want and need. So it gets to the point of the values of the organization, and I've always turned up the values of the manner in which. So that's the manner in which you live out the mission. The example I give at new employee orientation is, for me, a needle stick will, I pass out sometimes when I have to donate blood. So they tend to sit me down or lay me down. So somebody who can draw blood from me is very important so it doesn't hurt. And then the example I use, if say if you come to the emergency department and they need to start an IV, and we've got two great nurses that can do that with one stick, right? Do you want the nurse that grabs your arm, or do you want the nurse that touches your arm? I want it all. You know, I want the one stick, but I also want the touch. So the manner in which that exceptional health care is delivered is important. That's the connection we try to make between the mission and the values of delivering that mission each and every day, but it's the manner in which you do that. And I think that's what sets us apart and should set us apart from other healthcare organizations.
And it's so important as you talk about being in the moment, knowing what the patient needs at that moment, but the manner in which you serve, so very, very important. Well, Mike, so many good things happening, obviously, with the recent medical staff recruitment to the hospital, but also maybe you could talk about a new service line.
I would love to, John, and in fact, I was going to talk to you about it. I had it written down. It was all set to go, and I was telling marketing what I was going to discuss, and they said, you can't announce that yet. So I have to wait, but if you are going to come to the St. Francis Golf Classic at the end of May, we're going to make that announcement then. So that's our next big event and the next big announcement for St. Francis.
Well, I'll tell you what, at the end of my questions, I talk about the upcoming benefit golf tournament. I'll get to that. And now I want to make sure I get there, and hopefully our listeners will, to make sure we hear about this new service line and the excitement there. So we look forward to that, actually, because I'll tell you what, I believe, as you think through the strategy and the big picture items, this is a significant announcement that we all will look forward to here in a few weeks. Well, let's talk about the new preschool and the child care facility. Can you talk about that and how that's coming along?
That I can talk about. Okay. And Megan Jennings, who's been putting a lot of work into that, her and Rita will definitely talk about that. Our new preschool, we're actually having bid opening coming up in a few weeks, and it's going to be an exciting addition for the entire community. It's way past its time to make this investment. We were blessed that we did receive about $1.5 million from the state. The governor was out here earlier to make that announcement, so that's going to help this dream to come true. We still need to raise about $1 million yet, and those efforts are underway, and Megan and her team are doing a great job. A little history on this 30-year mission. The ministry we've been on in child care. It started out, like I said, 30 years ago in a home that was built in 1956. So it wasn't designed for preschool child care activities like we have today. It's 3,000 square feet. We thought we might have 20, 30-some children. And you know, today it's grown to 60-some kids. And the dream is in this new facility that will be breaking ground probably in June or July and completed by June of 2018, will be over 14,000 square feet, and we'll be able to double the number of children that we care for. So take it from the 60 to the 130-some kids. We have over 30 kids already on the waiting list, so this is exciting times. But this also gets back to our earlier conversation about our mission. This isn't something that we make any money at. Also, it is definitely back to mission and providing a good place for our children. We subsidize this ministry at over more than $100,000 a year. So over 30 years, that's been costing us about $3 million to make this available. But it does get back to our founding sister, Sister Mother Odelia. We are all God's children, so it ties nicely into this long-term ministry. So it's important. As you know, in education, it's the bedrock of everything, especially for our kids. There are some interesting statistics here. High-quality childhood education without that, there's 25% more likely that you'll drop out of school. You're 40% more likely to be a teen parent. You're 50% more likely to be in special education or have special education needs, 60% more likely never to attend college, and 70% more likely to be in a violent crime. So all sorts of reasons why early childhood education is important. And we're excited to be part of that. We're going to partner with Head Start. They're going to be a new partner with us in that. And also Northwest Missouri State University. The students will be able to come out to this center and receive some real-life practice time at our care center.
Well, it's so exciting, and obviously, you know, come the summer of 2018, the new facility with a waiting list, and combined with all that's happening throughout our community and here at the university, at the hospital, the last 2, 3, 4 years and the next 2, 3, 4 years, just vibrant time in terms of the history of this region, and we thank you for uplifting that. Thanks to you and your team. I also will say, I don't want to get up on a soapbox here, but I would suggest that as you cite those statistics of the importance of early childhood and you carry those through K-12 and into higher ed, it is hard to argue against the importance of education, lifelong education, and the impact on our economic well-being. And we all talk about, you know, education really does equal economic development. It's the best economic development tool out there, and you're really helping get us to that. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
Well, let's talk about some other renovations and remodeling that have been done at the hospital. We haven't kind of gone through the whole litany, but what are some other things that if people haven't been to the hospital recently that they would see?
We did finish up the remodel to our emergency department. They've probably been in there for, 5 or 6 months? And the nice thing I see with that is the improvement we've seen in our patient satisfaction score. So they've gotten settled into that in probably September or October. And each and every month, they have steadily improved. This last month, they were at the 90th percentile, the top 10% in the country. Then we now have the second highest score in our system, where we used to be the second from the bottom, and now we're the second highest in SSM Health. That's over 20 hospitals. And so hats off to our staff, the nurses, the techs, and the physicians for doing a fabulous job. But that environment helps. The patients were asking for more privacy, mm-hmm. more room so there'd be better throughput and less wait times. All those things are in place, but we still need the physicians and the nursing staff to make that experience come true.
I would say my family and I had a chance to experience the emergency department over a number of years, and so it's great to hear this. We hope we don't have to experience so much of the new right. one, but that's a great addition. What else around the hospital?
Well, the new CT, one of the things we're doing with that, I mean, obviously helps if you're having a heart attack to get some answers, or a stroke, you can get quicker studies back. But just for, well, not so much for you, probably more so for me. You're in a lot better shape than I am. I mean, we do calcium scorings for your heart, and it kind of tell you the buildup of plaque potential that might be there. And people say, well, how much does that cost? Well, this is really a bargain. It's $50. It also includes the interpretation by the radiologist, and you get a nice colored picture and a nice report. And then you can feel, wow, I am okay. You know, or I said, I'm really okay. And I had mine done. I didn't get a perfect score, but I got a pretty darn good score. So I was feeling pretty good after that. And I encourage others to go ahead and do that. This $50, very well invested.
Spent.
Yes, it is.
So many great renovations at the hospital. And it's, if you haven't been there, we really do encourage you to come by and take a look. Mike, if I can transition a bit, and listeners, All Things Northwest, it's the May edition, and we're talking to Mike Baumgartner, the CEO, president of SSM Health, St. Francis Hospital, Maryville. Mike, if I can transition a tad, there are some key state and federal health care issues out there, and for someone like me who doesn't know all of the health care issues, how do you sit down with someone or really ride up an elevator and tell them, hey, I've only got 10 floors. Here are the key healthcare issues at the state and federal level. How would you describe that?
Yeah. For us, let's start with the state of Missouri. Probably the number one thing, and just speaking of the emergency department, we see this in our emergency department and throughout our state and throughout the entire country, actually, is the drug abuse that takes place. Pain medicines, the opioids, the OxyContin, that abuse that's taking place. Missouri is the only state in the United States that doesn't have a drug monitoring program, which is sad. We need one. It's caught up in the state legislature. It's been there for many years. They are getting close this year to getting something passed. It's well past its time. I sure hope they finish it up. It sounds like they're going to get it done this year. But this is truly an epidemic. Just giving an example, there are literally. Sometimes people will say, you can't really mean that. Well, it's true. People drive carloads from other states to come to Missouri, go up and down their main streets, hit the pharmacies, get scripts written, go see the doc, because it's so darn easy in the state of Missouri. We need to put a stop to that. It's not just abuse, medication abuse, but people are dying. You just watch news stories and you see about these overdoses. It's sad. And those will probably, some of those will still take place, but we can do a lot better job for our citizens in our state. So this is definitely one bill. Like I said, they are very close to getting it passed this year. So my confidence is high that that's going to happen. So that's the number one thing I'd like to see them do in Jeff City. There are some other things, but that's it. The health of our population is key.
And what about the federal level? There's so much talk about the various programs and plans and all of that. What's your take on that?
You know, the big talk is a repeal and replace. And I think they could take the Affordable Care Act and tweak it. It'd be nice if you take something and you just make it better, make some improvements to it. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. In Washington, I don't think they know what's going to happen yet. They're obviously working on that. For our hospital and other rural hospitals, the Affordable Care Act, in those states that did take the Medicaid expansion, it has helped rural health care. It has given people more access to care, has given them health insurance. So that's important. So it has helped people's health. It's helped the hospital's health. It's improved the finances of the hospitals in rural America. When I was in Kentucky for a couple of years, and they embraced it. They rolled it out. They took the Medicaid expansion, and it definitely helped rural Kentucky, which is an extremely difficult place to make a difference. Well, this made a difference. Better access care for our patients. You didn't have to wait until you had to come to the emergency room to see a physician. You could actually develop that relationship with your doctor because now you have health insurance. So it's key. Do I have my hopes high? No, I don't. I'm pretty realistic about this, that Missouri's not going to go with the Medicaid expansion. I don't think a lot's going to happen this year in Washington with it. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see what happens in 2018. I know they got a whole bunch of other things they're working on, the budget and everything else in Washington. But for rural America, the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid expansion has helped rural healthcare and has helped patients access.
Well, Mike, if I think about your comments and reflect on education, higher education, where we've been, where we're at today, where we hope to be at tomorrow, and then think about this interview and your commentary with regard to SSM Health, St. Francis Hospital, Maryville, it's pretty obvious that there's so much strategically going on at the hospital that you've put in motion, medical staff recruitment, preschool, childcare facility, renovations, remodeling, but focusing on really the relationship management piece. There are always going to be state and federal issues in education and in healthcare, but leaders like you are not diving for cover. You're saying, let's go. Let's make the hospital the best it can be for our patients and for our region. Part of that is a new service line that you couldn't talk about, but you will be talking about it at the upcoming benefit golf tournament here in just a couple of weeks. And maybe you can kind of round out this segment of the program by talking about that golf tournament.
Yeah, the St. Francis Classic, which in the past was the Tobin Benefit Classic for our hospital, is going to be on May 26th at Mazingo. Actually, it's going to start the evening before with a little social from 6 to 8 at the new Boulder Inn, the new hotel out of Mazingo. Great addition to our community. This year, it's going to be hosted by John and Susan Yancey. So John, that'll put a smile on your face, won't it? Yeah.
Yes,
John
indeed.
Yancey was the foundation chairperson for a long time at St. Francis, so it's a pleasure to have him. I think his two daughters are going to be there too. So John and Susan and the two girls are going to be back and sponsoring and be the hosts for us. So we're excited about that. And the money being raised that day is going to go for this new service line. So you got to come and hear what we're going to spend it on. So.
Well, we look forward to it. More exciting announcements and more growth at the hospital and throughout our community. Mike, is there anything else you'd like to cover for All Things Northwest with regard to St. Francis?
It's truly a privilege to be back here. back at St. Francis, back in Maryville in Northwest Missouri. I thank the Lord for each and every day I get to do this, and this truly is a ministry. It's a calling. It's now been 38 years that I've been doing this, and each and every day is interesting, and each every day is very rewarding.
Well, there's no doubt that listeners of All Things Northwest, all of us, myself included, have to thank you for your ministry, thank your team for its ministry, and really St. Francis Hospital for all that it does for individuals, for organizations, and for our community. Mike Baumgartner, thanks for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you, John.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Dr. Taibing Shi, Assistant Professor of Marketing at Northwest Missouri State University, and Mike Baumgartner, President and CEO of SSM Health St. Francis Hospital, right here in Maryville. Thanks, too, to our producer, Kayla Morgan. She's a student here at Northwest Missouri State University, but not really. She's a graduate now. She's an alumna of Northwest Missouri State University. Kayla has served not just the university, but certainly this program for the last year, and we wish her the very best in her ventures. A very talented young lady. She's going to do great in her career, and certainly as she prepares for her wedding day in November, we wish her the very, very best. We also thank KXCB Station Manager Rodney Harris. Friends, we here at Northwest Missouri State University are indeed a university of champions. Culture wins, as we like to say, and thank you for assisting us in enhancing our culture. Be a Bearcat, ladies and gentlemen. Learn, connect, care, practice civility, and show pride in Northwest, KXCB, KRNW, and public radio. I'm John Chasinski. Take good care and keep celebrating and advancing our region.
Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is produced by broadcast production major Kayla Morgan. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.